The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, ladies, for that. Take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Here, of course, Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. He had been given the documents for the book of Revelation as given to him by inspiration, the Holy Spirit of God. God had given him, according to verse 7, a thorn in the flesh. Many Bible scholars believe that he was going blind as he would write those letters to the Corinthian churches in large print. And here he had come to the Lord several times in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 12. The Bible says he came to the Lord three times and asked for that infirmity, if you will, that thorn in the flesh, to be taken from him, and God chose not to. Then he comes in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace, the Lord speaking to him, is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. And so he learned from the Lord that his grace is sufficient. So now he speaks to the church at Corinth, and he says, this is what I've learned. I've learned that his grace is sufficient for me. And by the way, no matter what suffering you go through, God's grace is sufficient for you. There was a New Yorker that was traveling through Texas. He collided with a truck that was carrying a horse. And he's laying there on the road. And as he's laying there on the road, he was listening to all the injuries that had taken place among the horses that was there, and the Texan asked the guy that was riding with him, what about that horse over there that was laying in the road? And the driver that was there with the Texan, or the one riding with the Texan, said, well, he's got a broke leg. And he said, okay, and he shot the horse. So the New Yorker laying in the road, when they came to him and said, what's your injuries? He said, I have none. He said, well, why don't you have any? He said, because I just don't have any. And later on, the insurance man came by the house, and he listed all of his injuries. He said, why didn't you tell me then? He said, because the Texan would have shot me just like he shot the horse. You know, when you see people going through suffering, it's hard. It really is. We've had several of our children, even my dear wife, and myself have gone through different physical sufferings in our life. When I was an evangelist, we preached in many churches across America and different countries. And I remember we would do anything we could for a pastor, anything. It didn't matter what we was there to serve the pastor. And I felt like I could meet the pastor's needs. I felt like that we did a good job that week. And so we would serve the pastor, and we taught our children to serve people. And one of the things that we would do oftentimes when we go to Steve Mackinder's house, we would stay there with him at the house in rooms. And Steve, Brother Steve, would always say, look, I've got like 5 acres. Can you guys mow it? And so we would mow his acreage. You remember that? We'd mow the acreage and stuff like that. And so Josh, he had the U-turn mowers and stuff like that. So Josh would get out there, and Jonathan would get out there, and I would get out there, and Jared would get out there, Rebecca and Sylvia would get out there, and we'd all work together in trying to get his property cared for him that week. That's one of the things that he would like for us to do. We enjoyed doing it, to be honest with you. And then, of course, the reward of that is he had four-wheelers, and so we'd borrow the four-wheelers, and then we'd run over all the property and through the woods that we mowed and stuff like that. But I remember one time Steve wanted me to go out, make some visits with him, and so we were finishing up, but one of the mowers, we had trouble getting started, and Josh said, I'll take care of it. Don't you worry about it. And so he got himself a hammer, and it was a battery problem. It wasn't connecting right, so he got himself a screwdriver, and he decided that he was going to go ahead and disengage the cable from the battery, and so he did his very, very best to try and disengage it, but somehow that thumb got in the way, and the screwdriver became attached to the thumb, and the hammer came hitting down hard, and all of a sudden now he's coming in, and he's got blood all over his shirt, and he comes walking in. We'd not left yet, and he comes walking in, and you know, Josh is a very calm, type of person. You're not going to see Josh get into an emotional frenzy. That's just not the character of the guy. And so he comes walking in with his thumb all messed up and some flesh knocked off and stuff and blood all over the shirt. And he says, "I think I got a problem." And, of course, he had to go and get stitches and stuff like that. But, you know, and several of our children has been hurt over the years and whatnot. I'm talking about physically hurt. And, boy, you just hate. You just really hate to see them suffer. Recently, one of our grandchildren, Andrew, had fallen from the height of something that he was doing and got a big gash in his head. And boy, we took him to the hospital, and he had this big gash in the head, and it came time for the doctor to come back, and they wrapped him up in the blanket so his hands couldn't move and stuff like that, and they were going to give him a shot in the head, and they were going to have to put stitches in there and stuff like that. And so I looked at Josh, and I said, "I paid my dues with you guys. I really don't want to see him suffer, and so I'm going to step outside with the women, and you stay in here, and you just help that son like a daddy should." But you don't like to see people suffer. I was flying in from preaching a conference, and we were coming in to the DFW airport. Brother Butler was my driver to pick me up. And I appreciate him and Brother Palmore being the two that I use the most and picking me up in airport rides and stuff. And so it was pretty much his turn. And so he came down to pick me up. And we're coming out the north end of the airport. And there was the guardrail, very thick metal guardrail. And somehow or another, this guy on the motorcycle, he lost control. His name is Steve. Lost control of his Harley motorcycle, and he went into that guardrail, and the guardrail was in a C form, and he was riding that thing all around on that guardrail, and then he went off the embankment. And so I told Brother Butler, I said, "Stop it, stop the vehicle immediately." And so we stopped the vehicle, and as fast as we could, we ran over the embankment. We didn't know the guy at that time, and just got to know him over the past couple of weeks, but we ran over that embankment to try and help, and there Steve is, and Steve was all messed up. I'm not going to go into detail because it could get kind of gory, but Steve was all messed up. He lost his foot and so many other things, and he's laying there on the ground, and I got down beside Steve. I didn't know him at the time, but I got down beside Steve and trying to see if he was consciously aware of what was going on and trying to help him to calm him down because right now he was going into shock and things of that nature, and a nurse showed up, and then we got the ambulances there, and his boss showed up, Donnie showed up, and he's had 7 surgeries so far and things of that nature, and I don't even know Steve, but can I tell you, my heart went out to Steve, and I've been checking on him, I've been calling his boss, trying to find out how he's doing, and I've been praying for Steve. You just don't like to see people suffer. No matter what they go through, you don't like to see people suffer. You don't like to see tragedy comes in people's lives and how it comes in people's lives. You just don't like to see that. Here the Apostle Paul is an older man. He's given his life to serve the Lord, and his eyes are now becoming quite blind. He can't see as well as he used to. He's writing the church at Corinth in large print, and as he writes them, he's going through a suffering time. He never complained. He never agonized. He was always giving God the glory. Whatever was dealt to him, he knew exactly how to handle it. Now, we're going to have different times in our day, right? In our day, we're going to have different types of and different times of suffering. There's going to be the physical suffering that I just talked about. There's going to be mental anguish. Sometimes we go through a mental suffering because of a loved one that dies, because of a friend that goes through a horrendously bad time. Sometimes there's emotional suffering as we grieve over different things, and there's scars that's there. Sometimes there's the spiritual sufferings as we remember the times where we could have made a spiritual decision, but man, we just didn't make it when we should have, and it caused us pain and agony over the years because we knew we should have obeyed God in that particular field. And so sometimes there is times where we go through suffering. When the children of Israel went through suffering in Exodus chapter 15, here's what they did. They complained and they murmured and they belly ached about it. That's not the proper response. But you are going to go through some suffering in your life. What causes suffering? Well, sometimes people would go through suffering because of the fact that it's related to the fall because of sin. Sometimes people go through suffering because of the fact that we are born under that which is the sin curse of the flesh. We understand that. We understand that it is hard to serve God. We understand that it's just not popular with your flesh to serve Jesus Christ. It is harder to get up and come to Sunday school than it is to go to a ball game. It is harder to get up and come to church than it is to go out and do something else. It's easy to obey the flesh. It is difficult to obey the Spirit. It is easy to be able to say, okay, I need my rest and I need my energy, and so therefore I'm not going to do this, that, or thus. That is spiritual. That is the easy way out. It is difficult to master the flesh. It is difficult to say, no, I am going to do this because I realize that ultimately this is the best thing for me to do. Just like it is difficult for some of you and I to master the flesh when it comes to exercise. Just like it's difficult. But you know, it's never hard to master, if you would please, the flesh, if you will, when it comes to eating. We just give in and do it. All right, and so we have those challenges, if you will, when it comes to the flesh. The Bible talks about how we, of course, of the seed of Adam, and sin was brought down through the sin of Adam, if you will, whereby you and I became sinners at birth. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But there's other purposes for suffering than just connecting it with that which is a sinful past or a sinful birth. We understand that. You know, sometimes we do wind up, however, when we do commit sin, we do wind up paying for sin. Now, you don't always pay for sin at the time you commit it. Some people that smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke, they don't get cancer to begin with. Some people that drink liquor and liquor and liquor and more liquor and more liquor, you know, they don't get a poisoned liver to begin with. Some people, it does drugs and it kills the brain cells, and but they, you know, they don't see that it kills the brain cells because they can functionally hold a conversation. But after years, those things do begin to take a toll. After years, those things do begin to show up. And so there is the result of sin. There was Miriam and Aaron, and they rose up against Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. And here's what you see. As they rose up against Moses, God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give Miriam that which is a leprosy type of disease, and she's going to become a leper. And so she had to move outside of the camp and stay outside of the camp. Now, wait a minute. But what was happening is they were doing these things over and over again, and God finally said, that's it. That's it. You know, I believe this. I believe that a person can throw something back at God's face over and over again till finally, just like your physical daddy says, that's it. And here we see in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 15, I believe that's what exactly happened there. So sometimes we see that suffering comes as the result of sin. Sometimes it's because of discipline. Sometimes we discipline our children because of wrongdoing. Sometimes we discipline them to teach them about the wrongdoing. When our kids were growing up, we would teach them to obey, and we would have things that were set. We were not one of these parents that said, well, we can't set anything on the lower shelf because our kids will touch it. We were not one of those parents that moved them off of the lower shelf. No, rather we used it as a training tool to teach our children, you don't touch that. All right? And so we trained them that these are things you don't touch. We were not people that tried to move away the responsibility so that they wouldn't get in trouble. No, we used those things that were tempting in their lives to teach them responsibility so that later on they might not perhaps get in as much trouble. All right? And so sometimes God uses suffering in lives to be able to teach us disciplines. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Oh, but I thought he loved me. He does. Well, preacher, I thought that, man, if he loved me, he'd always be good to me. Where'd you get that at? You know, sometimes God says, here's what I'm going to do. Because I do love you, I will chasten you. The Bible says this. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. The Bible says, every son, it says, to whom he receiveth. Listen to it. The Bible says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Then he says, if you're not chastened, he says, let me read the verse, but if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then, according to the Bible, and this is the terminology used, you're bastards and not sons. What's that? That's an illegitimate child. Somebody, if you would please, that is not a part, born, yes, yea, into that particular family. Now, can I tell you, listen, so the Bible says that one of the ways that you can identify that you are a child of God is that, well, God will discipline. You know, if you love your child, you put down some restrictions. If you love your child, you try and teach them the right way to go. If you love your child, you're going to discipline them when they don't go the right way. So please don't tell me that God does not love you. And please don't identify God as being somebody that hates you or that doesn't care about you when all of a sudden he has to bring disciplines in your life. You know, the parent that truly loves their children will discipline them. We'll try and show them and teach them and help them through the means of discipline and instruction how to go the right way. And that's what God does. So sometimes suffering comes because of sin. Sometimes it comes because of discipline. Sometimes it comes simply because God wants to work in your life. God allows suffering to come. Why? Because sometimes God just says, I want to work in your life. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 38, you'll read this, that Jesus is passing by, and he's passing by, he sees the man that is blind. The disciples begin to ask questions. They say to him, is the man blind because of his sin? And the Lord answers, no. Well, is he blind because of his parents' sin? And the Lord answers, no. But rather, what was happening is God wanted the glory. You know that sometimes a person that's born blind, that's not because of the judgment of God, or a person that's born that cannot hear, that's not because of the judgment of God, or a person that's born that cannot walk, that's not part of the judgment of God in their life. It might be for God's glory. It might be because God wants to work in their life. How many times has somebody gone into the hospital that's a soul winner, a caring Christian, and they'll witness to somebody that's in the hospital, and it might be a nurse, or it might be a doctor, or it might be somebody that's in the room with them or across the room, and they're there because of an illness. They're there because of a problem, and can I tell you, but they take the opportunity to be able to share the good news and to share the gospel. Can I tell you, sometimes it's the very works of God. Sometimes God allows some things to come in your life. Please get off of this binge where every time something tragically happens in your life, you view it as God judging you. That is not true. Sometimes God allows you to, stay with me now, have the privilege to go through some persecution. Oh, somebody goes through a trial in their life, and all of a sudden they get mad at God. And as they get mad at God, they say, well, I tell you what, God doesn't love me. And since God doesn't love me and God's not answering prayer, I'm not going to serve him. I'm not going to go to church. By the way, don't put your eyes on the problem. Don't put your eyes on the people. Put your eyes on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how many people do not come to church because of people? You're not supposed to come to church for people anyway. You're supposed to come to church for the Lord. You're not supposed to come to church because of some prestigious type of event. No, you're supposed to come to church because you love the Lord your God. By the way, if you come to church because of people, you'll get out of church because of people. If you come to church for prestige or a prestigious position, when all of a sudden that's taken away from you, then you'll stop coming to church. But if you come to church for the Lord God, the Bible says he's the Lord thy God, he changeth not. If you come to church watching people, then people get you down, people disappoint you, people get you upset. But if you come to church because you love God, God's not going to disappoint you. God's not going to get you down. God's not going to discourage you. God's not going to criticize you. God's not going to cause you any harm. Get your eyes off of people and put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying this. I'm saying that sometimes we go through suffering. By the way, suffering is not all bad. You learn things through suffering. Many songs, "It Is Well With My Soul." Dad was watching a documentary on that last night, and how that song was written in sorrow. Lost his children on a ship. And then, because of that, he penned the words, "It is well with my soul." Not everything is hunky-dory-dory. And by the way, dear friend, let me help you. If you're looking for the perfect church, not only will you not find it at Parkside, you won't find it anywhere. And if you think you found it, it now just became imperfect because you joined it. But you're not going to find perfect people anywhere. Oh, to me, it's so sad that people get so disoriented and people get so upset. Oh, they get so down. They get so discouraged. Why? And it's all because of people. People come to my office and somebody hurt my feelings and somebody caused me to get upset. And my same speech to them is given all the time. Your problem is not with people. Your problem is with God. Because if you put your eyes on God, people don't get under your skin. Because you're not trying to do anything for people's sake. You're trying to do it for the Lord God's sake. May I say this? I'm saying that sometimes we go through suffering. Yes, because of discipline of sin. Sometimes we go through suffering because God wants to discipline us. Not necessarily because of sin, because he wants to teach us a simple truth. Sometimes we go through suffering. Why? Because there's the very works of God. God said, I want to do a work in you, but I cannot do a work in you, and I cannot do a work through you with your present state of being. Therefore, I'm going to bring you a blessing, and I'm going to allow you to go through some suffering. Now, we don't thank God for that, do we? I mean, come on. You're human just like I am. I like to float on the cloud. I like everything to be hunky-dory-dory. I like everything to be good. I like everything to be smooth. But you will learn decisions and solutions in the valley that you never learn on the mountaintop. You learn things in the valley that you'll never see on the mountaintop. You learn things as you're crawling those kids in Thailand that was rescued by those heroes that went into that mountainous terrain underneath the mountain. Man, I tell you, sometimes I get claustrophobic, and it sits in. It's a challenge I've got, you know, and I'd have to really mentally prepare my mind for that if I was going to do that for sure. When I saw how those cavities, if you would please, were so very small and so very tight, I'm saying, boy, thank God for those men. Boy, thank God that they did it. Man, I'd have to be so focused, I'd probably forget the kid. Can I say this? Can I say sometimes it is the works of God that brings problems in our life? Sometimes it's the works of God because God wants to show us something. Sometimes God, if you will, allows some of the suffering. You know, here Jesus, he loved, if you will, in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, he loved Lazarus. Lazarus lived in Bethany. Lazarus in the village of Mary, you know, and her sister Martha. And now all of a sudden Jesus shows up and they said, well, he's been dead for 4 days and he stinketh. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. He was touched by the infirmity of that which is death that was brought. But yet, Jesus was still able to step in during the time of death, during the time of loneliness, during the time of despair, during the time of agony, during the time of people just giving up. That's when Jesus will show up, if you'll let him show up. That's when Jesus can take and do a miracle. Jesus comes through when everybody else is through. Jesus comes in the help when everybody else is walking out. But our problem is we're so used to handling problems. We're so used to taking care of business. If I can't touch it, I can't feel it, I can't control it, I can't manipulate it, I can't overpower it, then, oh, I guess it's just not gonna work. What about God? What about God working in your relationship? What about God working in your family life? What about God helping on your bus route? What about God helping in your Sunday school class? What about God helping in your neighborhood? What about God helping in your business? What about God? God can take and work in places where you cannot get it done simply because he is God. I'm saying that sometimes suffering comes because of sin. Sometimes suffering will actually come because God, as a loving father, as a caring father, as you would discipline your own children to teach them lessons that go deep and stay cemented. Sometimes God does that with you as one of his children. Sometimes God would do it to display his mighty work. Sometimes God does it to be able to see where your faith is. To see where your faith is. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, consider it all joy, my brethren. When it says you encounter various trials, it says, knowing that the testing of your faith. Now, by the way, listen, it's the testing of the faith many times that gives the greater product. You know, before scientists will bring something on the market, whether it's medicine or whether it's some type of chemical that they're going to use in water supply or whatever the case, you know what they do? They test it. They test it. They test it. And they test it. And they test it. Well, then don't get mad at God if God is preparing you to be a tool when you go through some testing in your life. Because when you go through some testing in your life, all God is doing is making you to become the individual that you ought to be so that you can serve him more proficiently. That's all God's doing. Well, I tell you what, can't believe I'm going through this. Oh, it just bothers me. Doesn't bother God. God must be mad at me. No, he's not. God must be trying to get my attention. He may be, but if you fail the test, you gotta take it again. It'd be better to not fail it the first time than to fail it and have to take it again and then take it again and then take it again and then take it again. Young couple came to me and they said, we're having financial problems. I said, all right, let me ask you a question. You tithing? Well, no, we're not tithing. Well, I'll tell you why you got financial problems. Till you straighten it up, you can't expect all the blessing that God wants to give you. Oh, God may bless you, just like he reigns on the just and he reigns on the unjust. God may bless you according to your labor. But what if you got God involved in your labor? Could not God bless you more? See, instead of tipping God, why don't you obey God and let God be the one that tips you? You ever have a good waiter or a waitress? You ever do that? Man, we went out for Jared's birthday. We always do this. We've done this now since they become adults. And after high school, we wanted to do something special, but you know, you never know what to buy people on their birthday. Man, I ask relatives of people all the time, hey, I love your dad or I love your mom. I'd like to get them something on their birthday. What can I do? And they, many people say, well, you know, you can't get them really anything, but you know, just love them. You know, but our kids, you know, they're not in their 30s. Well, one is, but they're not ancient people, like Brother Butler. They're not old people. And so we tell our kids, when it's your birthday, you choose what restaurant you want. We budget money for it. You choose what restaurant you want. We invite the entire family, and there's no limitations. You can choose the nicest restaurant you want, or you can choose the dumpiest restaurant in town. I mean, it is your night, so you choose. And so, you know, they'll choose a nice restaurant, and we'll go out. We did this this past Friday. Jared turned 25. Sylvia, where are you at? 25. Jared turned 25, just checking in. And Jared turned 25 years old. And it was a birthday on Friday. And so I told Jared, we planned it starting Monday. And we told the boys, you know, you're not allowed to plan anything that night. Whatever you got, cancel it. And it's family night. And we're going to all go eat together. So we chose a nice restaurant. And we went out to eat. Oh, we had, can I tell you, we had a waitress that was second to none. Now, I'll tell you, I've had some waitresses that I think they rode in on their broom. But this woman did not. I think she actually drove in a functional vehicle. And boy, she's just so sweet. She's just so kind. She just kept coming back and waiting on us. And do you want more of this? Would you like more of this? Now, can I tell you, the more she did that, the bigger that tip got. The bigger it got. You know why? Because she was a blessing to us. We wanted to be a blessing to her. You know, but so many times what happens is, when somebody is a blessing to you, you don't say thank you. You don't be a blessing to them. I said this, we had, 163, last count, of people that came out soul winning on Saturday morning that was in this room and going out knocking doors and telling people about Christ. And I said, when somebody does something for you, be thankful. Write them a note, send them a text, write them an email, write them a letter. Don't ever become an ingrate. Don't ever let yourself become that way. You know, can I say this? When the Lord does something, you might not understand it, but be thankful. Be thankful. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? When God judges me for sin, am I supposed to be thankful? Yes. When God is teaching me a lesson through discipline to show me his love, am I supposed to be thankful? Yes. When God is working in my life and God is showing me things about testing in my life and he's trying to build my faith, but I don't like it. It's like sandpaper. Should I be thankful? Yes. Wouldn't it be great to be thankful for all things? You say, where do you get that? The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. So wouldn't it be great to be thankful? Your wife gets up and she fixes toast. You say, preacher, she can't cook. She even burns the toast. Be thankful. Be thankful. Honey, thank you so much for this coarse piece of bread. This is going to help me in my innards somewhere. Be thankful. You know, learn to be thankful for things that people do. Listen to me now. It's going to build better relationships inside the home. Parents, why not be thankful for your kids? Oh, they're supposed to make the bed. But aren't you glad they do? Why not saying from time to time, hey, you know, I'm just thankful you make your bed every day. Sure takes the pressure off of me. I appreciate you. Just be thankful. By the way, as a man sow, if that shall he also reap. Well, my kids never thank me for anything. Maybe you need to do some sowing. Oh, they're just a bunch of ingrates. How often do you thank them? See, we expect our kids to give all, but we give nothing. What if we became thankful? Hey, what if as church members we became thankful? Wouldn't that be good? Yeah, I know I'm preaching something this morning you don't like because some of you are squirming. But wouldn't it be good if you just went up? Now, don't be a smart aleck. Don't do that. Don't walk up, shake somebody's hand, and say, thank you for sitting in my pew. You don't have to do that. But you could be genuinely thankful. You know, thank you for coming to Parkside Baptist Church. I'm glad you're here. Hey, thank you so much for helping out in the ministry that you help in. Thank you so much. Man, I tell you what, you're an inspiration, you're an encouragement, you're a help to me. Thank you. Just being thankful. Yeah, you could go to your wife. Oh, my wife, she never thanks me for nothing. Well, why don't you go to your wife and say, honey, I'm just thankful you're my wife. Don't know what I would do without you. Thank you so very much. Yeah, some of you guys are looking at me like, get off of this, will you? But you could be thankful. You know, here's what God is teaching us here. Be thankful for how God works in your life. I've got to hurry. My time is gone. Be thankful for, yes, even the time where God judges you for sin. Why? Because he's only going to do that because he loves you. How about being thankful when he does show you love to teach you something, to instruct you? Be thankful for his workings in your life. Be thankful for him stretching your faith. And let me give you this. I'm over my time, but be thankful for those things. Let me give you this. Here it is, and I'm done. How is it that you can get help in times of suffering? Let me give you just a couple of principles real quick. Suffering, number one, is not permanent. Most suffering is not permanent. Most of the time now you may go through variations of suffering, but it's not permanent. When my relatives, loved ones that had gone on to be with the Lord, man, I grieved, it hurt. When different ones did different things in the ministry, oh, I grieved and I hurt and I wept, but it's not always permanent. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. So all things are for your sake. Doesn't say it's going to be permanent. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, for the which cause we faint not. It says, but through the outward, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Here's what Paul says. After going through all those afflictions that Paul went through, if you know your Bible, all the persecutings, the brethren forsaking him, being left a night and a day in the deep, and being robbed by his own countrymen, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, for our light affliction is but for a moment. It says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So it's just for a moment. It's just for a moment. You can be patient with the person that doesn't, that's in front of you, that is driving slow. You know, maybe you need to slow down. Maybe you need to, there's a flower over there that maybe you need to see, or a bull. And there's something on the side of the road. Who knows? But God's got a reason for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are, listen to it now, temporal. But the things which are not seen, the Bible says, are eternal. So understand, you might not see exactly what God's doing in your life, but God is always good. God always has your best benefit or your best interest at heart. Here it is, all right? So we understand this. We understand that suffering is not something that's permanent. Then we understand that there's a way to have peace in suffering. I use this verse in counseling a lot. Over in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now why? Because he trusteth in thee. So all of a sudden, when you don't have peace in your heart, most of the time, you're going through things and you can't figure it out and it frustrates you, most of the time it's because you're not trusting in him. You're trying to handle it. You're not giving it to him to handle. The Bible says that you can have perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. Here it is. Last verses I'll read. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. The Bible says, come on to me. This is the Lord speaking. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, so what do you do? All of a sudden, when you're run down physically and you're going through suffering, then you run to Christ. What do you do if you're run down mentally and you're going through suffering? You run to Christ. What do you do if you're run down emotionally and you don't know what to do? You run to Christ. What do you do if you're run down spiritually and you just don't know what to do? You simply run to Christ, because Christ is the one that can help you with your burden. So wait a minute. There's a way to be able to look and face suffering. It's not always bad. Sometimes it's for your good. You ever go through a dry time? Come on now. Am I the only one? You ever go through a dry time when you read your Bible and it just doesn't seem like you get much out of it? You ever been there? You ever go through a dry time when you pray and it just seems like the walls of heaven are clad iron? You ever do this? You ever tell a joke and nobody laughs? Yeah. You ever try and get close to God and there's no feeling? There's no feeling. You ever come to church and you've lost your desire? You've lost the warmth that you feel on the inside? By the way, when that happens, realize that this too shall come to pass. Here's what I learned years ago. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So I just keep stepping the right direction. That's what I do. Just keep stepping. Feelings come and go. Well, thank God I don't operate in the realm of feelings. But feelings come and go. Preacher, have you ever thought of resigning the church? Yeah. Have you ever thought of throwing in the towel? Oh, yeah. Have you ever thought of going back into evangelism? Oh, sure. Have you ever thought of going into the mission field? Oh, yeah. Have you ever thought of becoming a college teacher somewhere else? Oh, yeah. Have you ever thought of leaving your wife? No. But you're going to go through things. And as you do, here's what you do. Do you like Nehemiah? We learned in Sunday school. You just keep stepping. Just keep stepping. Feelings come. Feelings go. By the way, listen to me. Uncertainties come. Uncertainties go. You just keep stepping the right direction. And by the way, you'll get all those things back again. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.